RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The Investment Coordinating Board BKPM reviewing regulation on negative investment list. Lebanon clerics to visit Indonesia. The National Logistics Agency Bulog steps to increase national rice reserve. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo arrived back to Jakarta on Sunday night after paying a visit in Malaysia to attend the ASEAN Summit and other meetings. The President and entourage, including First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, arrived at the Halim Perdana Kusuma Military Airport in East Jakarta at 10:40 p.m. by presidential plane RI-1. The head of state was in Malaysia for a two-day visit. On the second day of the visit on Sunday, he had talks with Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Tan Dung, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. He also attended the ASEAN-New Zealand 40th Anniversary Commemorative Summit at the Kuala Lumpur Convention Center, KLCC. President Joko Widodo, along with other 9 ASEAN leaders, also signed the Declaration on the Establishment of the ASEAN Community and the Kuala Lumpur Declaration for ASEAN 2025. The other summits attended by the President included the 10th East Asia Summit, the 18th ASEAN-Japan Summit, the 17th ASEAN-South Korea Summit, and the 7th ASEAN-UN Summit. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, is reviewing a regulation on the Negative Investment List, or DNI, a move expected to increase investment in Indonesia. It was said by Chief of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, on the sideline of the ASEAN Summit at the Kuala Lumpur Convention Center on Sunday. Frankie said, at APEC and ASEAN Summit's participants have always raised the issue of how to make the service sector the pillar of economic growth in member states. At ASEAN level, there are political, social, cultural, and economic pillars. Indonesia has not been 100% prepared for the first and second pillars. But the government looks at not only the scoring but also preparedness to enter the economic sectors. Citing an example, Frankie said the service sector still needs much preparation. Regardless of the scoring approaches, the move is in line with the government's effort to turn Indonesia into a production hub to meet needs from ASEAN and Asian countries. Delegation of Sunni clerics from the National Agency for the Grand Mufti of Lebanon scheduled to visit Indonesia next week to strengthen bilateral relations in the field of education and culture. Chief Executive Function of Information and Cultural Affairs of the Indonesian Embassy in Beirut, Wendy Raharjo, on Sunday, escorted by Antara, said the delegation of Islamic scholars led by Deputy Grand Mufti, Dr. Amin El-Kut, will visit Indonesia from November 26 to December 5th. Indonesian Ambassador to Lebanon, Ahmad Khomaidi, explained that the main mission of the Sunni scholar's visit was to establish cooperation in education and culture of Islam, as well as exchange ideas with Islamic scholars in Indonesia. The state-owned enterprise ministry has prepared 5 steps to strengthen the National Logistics Agency, Bulog, to increase national rice reserve. The strategy is part of the ministry's agenda until 2019. Deputy for Business Infrastructure Sector of the State-Owned Enterprises, Minister Wahyu Kuncoro in Jepara, Central Java, over the weekend explained that Bulog's first strategy is to work on agriculture. Bulog recommends that the government acquires new land. Second strategy is modernizing additional storage facilities. Wahyu said that the storage capacity owned by Bulog is just 3.9 million tons, or equal to 6-7%. Bulog will add this to become 15% and will absorb crops. Wahyu says the absorption through an offtake agreement is to give supply certainty for Bulog. Wahyu said Bulog will have its subsidiary in charge of distribution. The subsidiary will be integrated with 2 state-owned enterprises, PT Sanghyang Sri and Pertani, as well as PHC. Bulog will also be coordinating with state-owned enterprises of logistics and distribution function. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Korea Aerospace Industries Limited signed a deal with Indonesia on Sunday, clinching the Southeast Asian country's partnership in a Livish local fighter jet development program. Under the preliminary contract, Indonesia will shoulder 20% or $1.5 billion of the total program's cost to develop the advanced multi-role combat jet, according to the airplane manufacturer. The Korean Fighter Experimental Program is designed to develop and mass-produce homegrown dual-engine combat airplanes by 2025. Korea Aerospace Industries is South Korea's contractor manufacturer of the program. With the partnership, Indonesia will be entitled to purchase 50 new airplanes. Under the deal signed Sunday, Indonesia will be able to take part in the designing of the airplane as well as in the production of components for the program. It will also be entitled to acquire the aviation technology of the project and bring home 1 experimental airplane, according to Korean Aerospace Industries. East Kalimantan won the women's division title of the National Hockey Championships after defeating Jakarta 1-0 at the AstroTurf Hockey Field in Senayan on Sunday. The only goal was contributed by Sahidah in the 21st minute. Leading the match, the East Kalimantan players, who were all under 25 years of age, continued to press the host team, restlessly bombarding the Jakarta team's goalie, Yulia Indra, with dangerous attacks. Playing under pressure, Jakarta did its best to fight back, but East Kalimantan's leaders, Sri Norma Yunita and Ira Febriani, managed to suppress Jakarta's offense. Entering the second half, Jakarta continued to attack East Kalimantan, but they failed to score. Indonesian Hockey Federation's chief Erizal Azhar applauded the performance displayed by East Kalimantan and Jakarta. He said they are scouting potential players to participate in the upcoming national training camp for the 2017 Southeast Asian Games and the 2018 Asian Games, and in the men's division final, Papua will play Jakarta. The last item. Indonesia will send 26 men and women karateka to compete in the Premier League Turkey Open 2015 on November 26 to 29. Of the 26 athletes, 9 will compete in kata numbers, while 17 other karateka will compete in kumite class. Secretary General of the Executive Board of the Federation of the Indonesian Karate Do, Lumban Sianipar, on Monday, escorted by Antara, said Indonesia choose to follow the championships in Turkey since the country is strong enough in karate. Indonesia does, however, not set targets medals. According to Lumban Sianipar, trials in Turkey is one of the long-term projections to prepare the athletes for SEA Games in Malaysia in 2017 and Asian Games in 2018, as well as benchmarks of the strength of the Indonesian karateka at international level. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, reviewing regulation on negative investment list. Lebanon clerics to visit Indonesia. The National Logistics Agency Bulog steps to increase national rice reserve. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on when Chinese renminbi becomes world currency. In the G20 Summit Forum on November 15, 2015, Indonesian President Joko Widodo said dependence on the American currency or US dollar potentially threatens global economic growth. Therefore, the president stressed the importance of shifting from the US dollar to other currencies, such as the Chinese currency, the renminbi or yuan. President Joko Widodo's statement may be realized because, according to schedule, on November the 13th, the IMF will announce the Chinese currency, the renminbi, as one of the world's currencies or the fifth world's reserve currency after the US dollar, euro, pound sterling and yen. In the last few years, the renminbi has often been said to join the world reserve currency. This is in line with the rapid progress of China as the world's second largest economy, as well as to reduce dependence on the US dollar. Currently, 60% of the world monetary transactions, both in developed and developing countries, use the US dollars as a medium of exchange. Many economists are predicting that the renminbi would shift the dominance of the US dollar. Economic expert from the United States, Joseph Eugene Stiglitz, estimates that the hegemony of the US dollar in the international trade transaction will continue to decline over time. Renminbi, according to him, will be increasingly used in international trade. Predictions about the renminbi would shift the dominance of the US dollar may still be difficult to materialize for the moment, given the strong dominance of the US dollar. So far, euro, pound sterling, and yen have not been able to shift the dominance of the US dollar. Moreover, the renminbi, as a newcomer, must first shift yen, pound sterling, and the euro as the strong currency before competing head-to-head with the US dollar. It is estimated that if later renminbi is actually announced as a world reserve currency, big institutions around the world that had been strong assets denominated in US dollar, euro, pound sterling and yen will begin to convert into renminbi. The value of renminbi will appreciate significantly, while the value of US dollar and three other currencies may be down. Admittedly, it may still be difficult to shift the position of the dominance of the US dollar, but there shouldn't be any hegemony of one country to other related to currencies such as the dependence on the US dollar today. Then how would it affect the Indonesian economy when the renminbi become a world reserve currency? Although in the short term, renminbi may not able to shift the dominance of the US dollar, at least the inclusion of renminbi will bring positive benefits for trade between Indonesia and China. China is currently still Indonesia's biggest import trading partner. Indonesia's imports from China reach $30 billion US dollars, while exports to that country only $16 billion. The rising status of renminbi or yuan is expected to facilitate trade transactions between China and Indonesia, because Indonesia's exporters no longer need to convert rupiah to the US dollar and then by China's importers convert it again into yuan or renminbi. They can directly convert it to yuan, vice versa. That was commentary on when Chinese renminbi becomes world currency. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Annie Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on November 23, 1980, when the 1980 Irpinia earthquake occurred. The 1980 Irpinia earthquake took place in the Irpinia region in southern Italy on November 23rd. Measuring 6.89 on the Richter scale, the quake centered on the village of Konza killed more than 2,900 people, injured more than 10,000, and left 300,000 homeless. It is known in Italy as Terremoto dell'Irpinia. The quake struck at 18:34 UTC. The first jolt was followed by 90 aftershocks. Towns in the province of Avellino were hit the hardest. The towns of Lioni, Conza di Campania, near the epicenter, and Teora were destroyed, and dozens of structures in Naples were leveled, including a 10-story apartment building. Damage was spread over more than 26,000 square kilometers, including Naples and Salerno. The next event was in 1996 when Ethiopian Airlines Flight 961, a Boeing 767-200ER, was hijacked. Ethiopian Airlines Flight 961, a Boeing 767-200ER, was hijacked on November 23, 1996, en route from Addis Ababa to Nairobi on an Addis Ababa-Nairobi-Brazzaville-Lagos-Abidjan service by three Ethiopians seeking asylum in Australia. The plane crash landed in the Indian Ocean near Grande Comore, Comoros Islands, due to fuel exhaustion. 125 of the 175 passengers and crew on board died, along with the hijackers. The official accident report stated that of the survivors, four were uninjured and the remainder sustained injuries. The incident is one of the few documented water landing attempts of a wide-body airliner with survivors. Until the September 11, 2001 attacks, it was the deadliest hijacking involving a single aircraft and the second deadliest hijacking after the 1990 Guangzhou Baiyun Airport collisions. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. In today's edition, it's on the World Fisheries Days and National Fish Day to improve fishermen welfare. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. On November 21, 2015, the world community celebrated the World Fisheries Days to confirm that fisheries, both catch fish and aquaculture, not only a source of health but also of welfare. Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, FAO, in 2014 stated that jobs in the fisheries sector are growing faster than the world population. The fisheries sector provides jobs for hundreds of millions of citizens around the world, so that fish becomes one of the most traded food products and give half of the total profit of the exported products, particularly for developing countries, including Indonesia. The number of fish caught in 11 countries in Asia-Pacific increased in the last 10 years, such as the FAO data submitted in 2014, which exposes the fact that the phenomenon is experienced by Indonesia, Vietnam, China, and Myanmar, followed by the Philippines and the Republic of Korea, while Japan and Thailand are experiencing a decline in production. Meanwhile, the same date, November 21st, is also designated as the Indonesian National Fish Day by former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono through a presidential decree. the National Fish Day is expected to arouse national awareness about the important role of marine and fisheries sectors in the development of Indonesia. The Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries is celebrating the World Fisheries Days and the second National Fish Day on November the 21st, 2015, with the theme Sovereign Management of Marine Resources and Fisheries Sustainable for People's Welfare and Intelligence, and held various events in Jakarta on Saturday, November the 21st. A number of stands displayed a number of works such as the Agency for Human Resources Development of Marine Fisheries that displayed Technopark Roadmap or the Roadmap of Marine Fisheries Technology Park. Head of Human Resources of the Marine Affairs and Fisheries Ministry, Suseno Sukoyono, said that the roadmap illustrates the program plans to realize 24 technology parks, and as the initial phase, the Agency for Human Resources of Marine Fisheries of the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries this year has built 4 technoparks in Tegal, Central Java, Banyuwangi, East Java, Bitung, North Sulawesi, and Ambon in Maluku Province. While 20 other technology parks will be built by the Agency for Human Resources of Marine Fisheries of the Ministry in 2016 up to 2019. According to Suseno, that number is part of the construction of 100 technoparks coordinated by the Ministry of National Development Planning. Earlier, Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti, gave direction to encourage the national entrepreneurs to buy the products of local traditional fishermen catch result in order to develop the fisheries sectors in the country. Susi Pujiastuti asked the Chamber of Commerce and Industry and other employers to appreciate the fishermen by buying fish from their catch. Additionally, Minister Susi Pujiastuti said that the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries will conduct a wide range of fisheries revitalization program to develop fishing and fishery products, such as the program of making 3,540 boats for local fishermen. Well, that was Focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Listener, here are today's headlines taken from several national dailies published on Monday, November 23, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which in its headline writes, "Adequacy of teachers still disputable." Listener, Indonesia, on the paper, is excessive in teachers. However, in fact, there are many schools that have lack of teachers, especially in remote and underdeveloped areas. The burdens of the teachers at the areas are really heavy. They often have to teach 2 to 6 classes at once. Distribution of teachers remains a chronic problem. Lack of teachers especially occurs in remote, lagging, and forefront areas. In fact, the problem remains unsolved, even though after involving part-time teachers. Chairman of the Executive Board of the Indonesian Teachers Association, Sulistio, said, "The government must immediately recruit new teachers to overcome the shortage of teachers, especially at primary school level. But so far, the government has not issued a policy related to the recruitment of teachers." Director General of Teachers and Educational Personnel of the Ministry of Education and Culture, Sumarna Supratna, said, "Distribution of teachers is a problem that must be addressed." Media Indonesia, meanwhile, writes, "Enforcing the dignity of House of Representatives." House's dignity starts to be at stake today when the Honorary Council, MKD, held a plenary meeting to take a position related to the alleged skimming of the name of the President and Vice President by the House Speaker, Setia Novanto. The national figures remind the Council to be serious in handling the problem. Vice Chairman of the Council, Junimart Girsang, said in the meeting he will set the matter to be raised to the court. Setia Novanto was allegedly involved in profiteering Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla to get stakes at PT Freeport Indonesia. The allegations were reported by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said to the Honorary Council Monday, November 16. General Secretary of PP Muhammadiyah Abdul Mukti confirms the Honorary Council should work professionally and objectively so that the collapsed council's dignity because of the case could be reinforced. A political observer of Indonesian Science Institute LIPI, Siti Zuhro, also stated that Novanto's case is at stake for the honorary council to re-establish the dignity. Junimart promised the council will work professionally and transparently. There is an opportunity to have an open session as long as it is agreed in a quorum by members of the honorary council. We end today's headlines with Business Indonesia, which writes the seventh package is waiting for evaluation. The government will slow down the disbursement of the advanced stimulus package of the economic policy until the sixth package previously launched has been evaluated for the effectiveness. Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Darmin Nasution, said the government will focus on conducting a review or evaluation of all the economic policy package that has been released, particularly with respect to the implementing rules, which until now has not been published. After the evaluation, he said the government will re-release the economic policy package, which is still further formulated. And listener, that was headlines for today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo arrived back to Jakarta on Sunday night after paying a visit in Malaysia to attend the ASEAN Summit and other meetings. The President and entourage, including First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, arrived at the Halim Perdana Kusuma Military Airport in East Jakarta at 10:40 p.m. by presidential plane RE1. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, is reviewing a regulation on the negative investment list, a move expected to increase investment in Indonesia. Delegation of Sunni clerics from the National Agency for the Grand Mufti of Lebanon, scheduled to visit Indonesia next week to strengthen bilateral relations in the field of education and culture. The State-Owned Enterprise Ministry has prepared 5 steps to strengthen the National Logistics Agency to increase national rice reserve. The strategy is part of the ministry's agenda until 2019. Korea Aerospace Industries Limited signed a deal with Indonesia on Sunday, clinching the Southeast Asian country's partnership in a lavish local fighter jet development program. East Kalimantan won the women's division title of the National Hockey Championships after defeating Jakarta 1-0 at the AstroTurf Hockey Field in Senayan on Sunday. The only goal was contributed by Sahida in the 21st minutes. Leading the match, these Kalimantan players, who were all under 25 years of age, continued to press the host team ruthlessly, bombarding the Jakarta team's goalie, Julia Indra, with dangerous attacks. Indonesia will send 26 men and women karateka to compete in the Premier League Turkey Open 2015 on November 26 to 29. Of the 26 athletes, 9 will compete in kata numbers, while 17 other karateka will compete in kumite class. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to tour to Central Sulawesi to have a close look at Sombori Island. So stay tuned. Listener, Tolo Bay is geographically located in three regencies, namely Morowali, Banggai, and Banggai Kepulauan Regencies in Central Sulawesi Province. This area has a very large number of marine biota. Because of that, this water area not only becomes a research location in oceanology, but also marine object tourism. The natural resources under the sea in the waters of Tolo Bay is the most ideal place for diving, snorkeling, fishing, sailing, surfing, and other activities to enjoy the beauty of underwater nature. One of the ideal locations to enjoy all of these is on Sombori Island. It is located in the southern part of Tolo Bay in Morowali Regency between two districts, namely South Bungku and Menui Kepulauan. Listener, Sombori is a conservation area which consists of a cluster of beautiful coral islands. Most of the island is residential area of the fishermen, but most of the island is vacant without being touched by humans. Sombori area can be reached through Kendari, Southeast Sulawesi capital city. Furthermore, it can be accessed by land or sea transportations. If you choose land, the trip takes for 6 hours to Lafeu Seaport, Coastal Bungku District. Then you can continue for about 1 hour by sea to Sombori Island. Meanwhile, if you choose sea journey, it will take half a day by commercial ships. Meanwhile, by a speedboat, it can be reached in about 4 to 5 hours. Entering Sombori area, you will see amazing scenery, high cliff on the left and right, and the wavy sea. Going deeper into Sombori area, you will be amazed by the scenery, which is so enchanting. There are groups of coral islands with various sizes and shapes. There is only a protruding rock with no vegetation, so that the giant coral island is covered with exotic lush trees. The birds seem tranquil, perching and flying over the trees. These coral islands have beaches with clean white sand. Listeners, with 41,342 hectares of marine conservation area, Sombori is a paradise for lovers of underwater activities. Prepare your snorkeling or diving tools if you want to enjoy it, for thousands of marine animals are ready to welcome you. No need to look too far, because the giant natural aquarium filled with healthy coral reefs will be soon the amazing scenery inside. Wide variety of forms of colors of the coral animals are laid on the calm ocean. Sea anemone that is home to the variety of colorful fish swaying with the flow of water. Large stable corals can be easily found here. Unfortunately, on Sombori Island there is no lodging facility. So if you want to stay at night, you can set a tent or stay at the fisherman's house. listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Sombori Island in Central Sulawesi Province. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Memperpanjang SIM. Memperpanjang SIM, or in English means renewing driving license. So stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and also expression that relate to our today's topic. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. Memperpanjang, memperpanjang, which means to renew. Surat izin mengemudi, surat izin mengemudi, or abbreviated SIM, which means driving license. Habis masa berlakunya, habis masa berlakunya, which means expired. Di mana, which means where. Jangan khawatir, jangan khawatir, which means don't worry. Mudah, mudah, which means easy. Selatan, selatan, which means south. Taman Makam Pahlawan, Taman Makam Pahlawan, which means hero cemetery. Mencari, mencari, which means to look for. Di internet, which means on the internet. Daerah, daerah, which means area. Dekat, dekat, which means near. Syarat, syarat, which means requirement. Periksa, periksa, which means to check. Mata, mata, which means eye. Baru, baru, which means new. Selesai, selesai, which means finish. Now we give you an example of a conversation between Nita or A and Ani or B. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Besok SIM saya habis masa berlakunya. Besok SIM saya habis masa berlakunya. Which means, my driving license is expired tomorrow. Apakah kamu tahu di mana bisa memperpanjangnya? Apakah kamu tahu di mana bisa memperpanjangnya? Which means, do you know where I can renew it? B. Jangan khawatir. Jangan khawatir. Which means, don't worry. Sekarang memperpanjang SIM sangat mudah. Sekarang memperpanjang SIM sangat mudah, which means renewing driving license is easy now. Hampir di setiap wilayah Jakarta ada. Hampir di setiap wilayah Jakarta ada, which means there are many places found in almost parts of Jakarta. Misalnya, di Jakarta Selatan ada di Kalibata. Misalnya, di Jakarta Selatan ada di Kalibata, which means such as in Kalibata area in South Jakarta. Mobil SIM keliling ada di dekat Taman Makam Pahlawan. Mobil SIM keliling ada di dekat Taman Makam Pahlawan, which means there is mobile driving license service near Hero Cemetery. Sebaiknya kamu mencari dulu di internet. Sebaiknya kamu mencari dulu di internet, which means you should browse first on the internet. Daerah mana yang paling dekat dengan kamu berada? Daerah mana yang paling dekat dengan kamu berada? Which means, which areas closest to your neighborhood? A. Apa saja syaratnya? Apa saja syaratnya? Which means, what are the requirements? B. Sepertinya hanya membawa SIM lama. Sepertinya hanya membawa SIM lama, which means I think you just bring your old driving license. Nanti di mobil keliling SIM, kamu diperiksa mata. Nanti di mobil keliling SIM, kamu diperiksa mata, which means you will have your eyes checked at the mobile driving license service. Tidak lama kemudian, SIM baru kamu sudah selesai. Which means, soon afterwards, your new driving license is ready. A. Oh, mudah sekali. Which means, wow, that's very easy. Terima kasih. Which means, thank you. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition introducing Rinto Harahap, a singer and composer, as well as music producer. Listener, to initiate today's music corner, let's listen to a song entitled Bunga Sedap Malam by Rinto Harahap. Enjoy the song.
Hujan turun lagi, sedang hari indah begini. Mengapa burung tak bernyanyi? Indah yang tercipta kini hilang sudah. Engkau bertukar, memang kamu bunga yang sedih.
suci yang sejati. Bunga yang kutanam di hatimu sayang, bukan bunga hanya untuk dipetik layu. Bukannya bunga petik layu, bukannya bunga harum layu, bukannya bunga sedap malam. Engkau sedih lagi, sedang malam indah begini. Hei, senyumlah, jangan kau bersedih. Hati kecil ini tak pernah berdusta padamu lagi. Memang kamu bunga yang sedang bersemi, tapi bukan bunga sedap malam. Cinta yang ku beri di hatimu sayang, sungguh cinta suci yang sejati. Bunga yang ku tanam di hatimu sayang, bukan bunga hanya untuk dipetik layu. Bukannya bunga petik layu, bukannya bunga harum layu, bukannya bunga sedap malam.
Listener, the song Bunga Sedap Malam is one of the song compositions of Rinto Harahap, which was popularized by Iis Sugianto with pop genre. The song then was sung by Rinto in Kroncong genre. Like his other compositions, the song tells about love. Rinto Harahap was born in Sibolga, North Sumatra on March 10, 1949. He became the founder of the band group, namely the Mercies, in 1970, consisted of four personnel, namely Charles Hutagalung, Reynold Panggabean, Rinto Harahap, and Erwin Harahap. During his career in the Indonesian musical industry, Rinto Harahap composed many songs that popularized a number of Indonesian singers, such as Nia Daniati, Petaria Sonata, Iis Sugianto, and Edi Silitonga. Rinto also has recording company Lollipop. Listener, now let's listen to the next song, Sudah Kubilang, by Rinto Harahap.
Sudah ku bilang, jangan kau petik mawar yang penuh berduri. Sudah ku bilang,
Jangan engkau dekati api yang membara. Jangan, kan tertusuk nanti. Jangan, kan terbakar nanti. Jangan, kau bawa dirimu dalam mimpi. Jangan kau petik mawar yang penuh berduri. Sudah ku bilang, jangan engkau dekati api yang membara. Jangan, kan tertusuk nanti. Jangan, kan terbakar nanti. Jangan, kau bawa dirimu dalam mimpi.
The song that you have just listened entitled Sudah Kubilang tells about love story. The young Rinto has the wish to become a doctor. However, the life brought him to be a man who has a good music talent and presented in the Indonesian music industry. Before entering the recording studio, Rinto worked in the private company and singing at nightclub. The well-known musician passed away in Singapore on February 9th, 2015, due to a spinal cancer. Listener, we enter this segment of Music Corner with the last song by Rinto Harahap, entitled Dingin. Let's enjoy the song, and see you tomorrow in another presentation of Indonesian music and songs. Sampai jumpa.
Tambah tinggi, entah mengapa. Kalau cinta memang aku sudah tak punya, air mataku pun kini keringlah sudah. Dingin,
salahmu. Tapi diri ini juga tiada bersalah. Punya rasa, punya mata, punya telinga.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.